Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the Audio Devar Torah with Reb T, the show where we talk some time on the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. This show is Le'ilei Nishmas Menachem Tzvi Ben Chaim Yitzchak, whose English birthday comes out this week, and whose Bar Mitzvah Parsha also would have come out this week. So we're looking at Korach, we're looking at Yud Zayin, Chaf Gimel. We're looking at the pasuk that says, after the craziness of the whole situation with Korach, and they're debating about the situation, about Moshe and Aaron being the leaders, and Korach is all up in arms about it, how he thinks that they took it for themselves, they usurped it for themselves, God forbid. And Hashem says, go put the staffs, go put the, and Moshe together to say, to figure out who really are the real leaders. Of course, we know it's Moshe and Aaron, but there's a test of putting the staff to see which staff will blossom. And the pasuk says, Vayehi mimacharas, etc., Vayatzei tzitz, Vayigmol shekeidim. And on the following day, Aaron's staff, Aharon's staff, Aharon's mater, for the house of Levi had blossomed. It gave forth blossoms. It sprouted buds and produced ripe almonds. So Rashi explains, it gave forth blossoms. This is to be understood in its literal sense. The buds, this is the budding of the fruit after the blossom falls out and produced ripe almonds. The Hebrew, vayigmol, when the fruit was recognizable, it was recognized that they were almonds. A similar expression is as found in "and the child grew and was weaned," like Vayigamel in Genesis, in Bereishis. This expression is frequently found, used in reference to fruits of the tree, as in "and the buds turn into ripening grapes," Gomel in Yeshaya. Now, why did it bear particularly almonds? It could have had anything. It could have had hazelnuts. It could have had any type of nuts. It could have had peanuts. Why almonds? That is the fruit that blossoms quicker than other fruits. Likewise, he who opposes the kahuna, his punishment comes quickly, as we find in the case of Uzziah and the Tzara'at, stone upon his forehead. From Divrei Hayamim, also Rashi and Yirmiyahu, the Targum Unkelus renders knotted almonds like a cluster of almonds knotted together on top of one of another. And these sources also come from Chabad.org. So that's an idea of Mida Keneged Mida. They came quickly to try to usurp the kingdom for themselves, and they were punished quickly with the sign that was showed, and Hashem opened up the earth, a totally unnatural existence to take them away. Korach and his Adas, Korach and his assembly came in an unnatural way, and Hashem took them away in an unnatural way, but Hashem already had it set up from the Bein Hashmash, as Pirkei Avos points out that this would come. Interestingly, Pirkei Avos talks about that what type of machlokas is not for Shemayim, the machlokas of Korach and his Adas, Korach and his assembly, because even they couldn't understand, couldn't agree on what was going on, and only On Ben Pelos was the only one that stood up because of his wife. His wife saved his life. She said, what's the difference if you're going to serve Moshe or you're going to serve Korach? You're not going to be the head honcho anyway, so why are you getting yourself involved in all this stuff? Thank God for wives, thank God for spouses, they really save our lives day in and day out. And also, the idea, besides for that, is also Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechina. We've talked about this before. Reuven had no qualms, had no definitive part in being part of this situation. Why was Reuven involved? Reuven had nothing to do with this, but the problem was that Korach was neighbors to Reuven, to Shevet Reuven, and when you have a bad neighbor, it really can affect you. You need to have Tov Latzadik Tov Lashcheno. You need to have a good neighbor. Like a good neighbor, you should be there, not the State Farm business. But really, you got to find a good neighbor. That's why Pirkei Avos also points out, what is the right path that a person should go on? Rabbi Yochanan asks his Talmidim, and they say different things. A good friend, a good neighbor is one of them. A good heart, of course, is the best one because it encompasses everything. But you need to have a good neighbor. You need to be a good neighbor. And the Hasidic masters also pick up on a different idea. The fact that the word for miracle is nace. Nace means elevation. The purpose of a miracle is to elevate those who experience it to a higher consciousness, to a recognition of the divine reality which underlies the natural reality we encounter in our everyday lives. There are two types of miracles. A, miracles which utterly disregard the laws of nature. First of all, nature itself is a miracle set up by Hashem. We just call it nature. But secondly, there's also the miracles which utterly disregard the nature. And then there's miracles B, which though they may made be no less impossible, quote-unquote, by the standard norms, no less obvious a display of the hand of God, nevertheless they occur by natural means, employing natural phenomena and processes to achieve their ends. At first glance, it might seem that the second miracle's need to resort to natural processes make it less of a miracle. In truth, however, a miracle that operates through nature is more elevating, hence more miraculous than a miracle that supersedes it. A sudden shattering change has not transformed nature, it has only gone beyond it. When a miracle is integrated into the workings of nature, nature itself is elevated. Otherwise stated, a supranatural miracle liberates the person who experiences it from the natural order. A natural miracle liberates the natural order itself. The bearing of fruit by a dry stick of wood would surely have sufficed as a divine sign of Aharon's chosenness. But Hashem did not simply make almonds appear on Aharon's staff. Rather, he stimulated in it the full natural process of budding, blossoming, and the emergence and ripening of the fruit. Aharon's staff defied nature's laws and restrictions, yet it conformed to the phases of growth that the almond naturally undergoes. It transcended nature, but did so on nature's own terms. That's the idea. Also, whenever Hashem does something, he tries to do it with the hand of nature. He tries to do it in a way that looks like it's nature. That's why they could say Kiyad al Kiska, and that's why they could say Etzba Elokim Hi in Mitzrayim, because the way Hashem did it gave room for doubt that it would look on some level, somehow, some way, that it might be perceived as a natural way. Hashem wants to give it away, give it an item that a person can deny it, because it has to be Bechira Chavshis, has to be a way that you could recognize it. If everything was all seen and not a test at all, it would be nothing. Like if the Yetzer Hara wasn't there, doing good wouldn't really mean anything, because everybody would always do good. So if Hashem did it in a way that didn't try to challenge us to see the miracle, it wouldn't be a test at all. That's why he does it in such a way. But it's going to also on different ways. You think about the different miracles that Hashem did through different people in Tanakh. You think about Eliyahu and Elisha reviving the dead, reviving the child. He literally, it says, the Navi talks about how he breathed life into the child. What does that mean? The child was dead. But Hashem made it appear that he put his hands on the child's hands. He put his face on the child's face. He put his legs on the child's legs, and he literally breathed, quote-unquote, of life, of his neshama, into the child, because Hashem wants to make it look like it goes in a certain manner. Also, when Elisha goes to the house of the lady who the people who want their money, they're going to seize the children, they're going to take the children as captive because she can't pay her debt. She says, all I have is a little bit of oil. I have this tiny, tiny bottle of oil. They have nothing else in the house. So when he did a miracle for her, he took that oil and Hashem made it appear as if the oil just didn't stop flowing. And that's how the miracle came about. You think about Hanukkah. Hanukkah was, there was already oil that just kept on lasting. It's not as if there was no oil to begin with and then the oil came out of thin air. No, Hashem made it that there was a pach shemen, one pach zevel of shemen, one little container, little jug that kept on burning. Because Hashem likes to make the miracles in ways that seem natural but really are supernatural. Also, the Gemara story, I think it's Rav Chanina ben Dosa, I'm not sure. His daughter lit the candles, but the wrong material. And he says famously in the Gemara, he who said that oil should burn could say that vinegar should burn. And the Gemara says, Kachava, the vinegar, burned the entire Shabbos. Because Hashem makes miracles, everything he does is a miracle. But if we see something miraculous, he does it in a way that seems to be scientific, quote unquote. It seems to be in a common way. The whole idea of pregnancy and childbirth also is a huge miracle, but the way he does it, the whole body systems, all the cells, he makes it in a way that scientists can study it. And that's why there could be room for doubt and room for so many people to deny the existence of Hashem, because it was so clear in such a way. Nobody could ever deny it. Nobody would ever get schar for really understanding and coming to appreciation of Hashem. It has to be in such a way. You also think about the idea of miracles. You think about the idea of all the things that Hashem did. Pirkei Avos picks up on it and talks about different miracles in chapter Hey, in Perek Hey, Mishnayot 4, 5, and 6, talking about different miracles. It says, "Asara nisim nisnasu lavasenu b'mitzrayim, v'asara nisim nisnasu lavasenu b'alayam." And there also were done in the Beit HaMikdash, and there were also things that Hashem made miraculously on Shabbos, at the twilight of Shabbos, because Hashem wanted to make it in a way, wanted to show that He controls nature, wanted to show that He is in charge of nature. He controls everything, and He manifests everything. He's able to manipulate everything to His own will, as much as He wants at any time possible. Everything done in Egypt was really Mida Keneged Mida. Also, there's a whole list from different websites that goes through each mak. Why was there Dam? Why was there Sephardei Akinim, Arav, Derech, Shechin, Barat, Arba, Choshech, Machas, Bechoros, and Shechin, all of them? Why were there 10? Hopefully that was listing 10. Why were there 10? Because each one had a different reason, and it was to show the mastery that Hashem has over nature, the mastery that Hashem has over the whole idea, the whole way of doing it, is to be able to have that Hashem controls everything, Hashem is in charge of everything, that the thing is so good because Hashem makes sure that everything is done under His dominion and everything is done in a way that it looks natural. But really, remember, everything is miraculous. Everything comes from Hashem. Everything is controlled by Hashem, whether it be seen or not, whether we realize it or not. But everything really comes from Hashem. We should always understand. We should always remember. We should always recognize the miracles in our life. And we should recognize that things are b'teva, that Hashem makes it in such a way that the sun rises, the sun sets, there's day and there's night. But it always happens because it's always in charge, because it always comes from Hashem, and everything is from Hashem. We should realize and remember and recognize that everything in our life that we're given, everything that is taken upon by Hashem, that everything happens for a reason, happens from a miraculous occurrence, happens from the helping of Hashem. So just to repeat, just to reiterate the different things that we talked about, that remember that what happened was Mida Keneged Mida. Korach came with his adas. He came even arguing amongst themselves because they couldn't even find a solution, because that's why the argument, it wasn't L'shem Shemaim. Pirkei Avos says, Ezehi machlokes shelo L'shem Shemaim ze Korach v'chol adas. So they couldn't even come to a point themselves. Oy l'rasha, oy l'shechina. Reuven shouldn't even come about. It had nothing to do with them, but they just were not good neighbors. They just had bad influence of their neighbors. Also remember, it was Mida Keneged Mida. They came in an unnatural way with an unnatural reason. They were punished in an unnatural way and an unnatural reason. Remember, miracles come about every day. Everything that happens to us, no matter what, are miracles, whether it seems quote-unquote natural, which is a miracle, or unnatural, supernatural. And Hashem brings miracles in a natural seeming way on purpose so that we could find and recognize Hashem and get more schar for that. Join us next time as we talk the audio DT with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.